إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. ما بعد. In our previous class we had begun discussing the issue of عروض التجارة, zakat, of zakat, عروض التجارة, the obligation of paying zakat and the items that are prepared for selling and for trading and for business. For selling and trade and for business. And in our previous class, the discussion ended with the issue of what is considered in the nisab, and what is considered in the nisab, and the value that will be considered for reaching the nisab, and likewise the for giving the zakat. And we have seen in the previous class that which is considered in the nisab or is everything that is for sale. Everything that is for sale. Everything that a person he has prepared that for sale, then this will be included in that. And likewise the ingredients that one has in order to make those items that are for sale. In order to make those items that are for sale. And so this includes everything that a person he has prepared. Yani, and it's on display for sale, and everything that he has prepared, and it's, for example, in the storage, not on display yet, but it's prepared for sale. And likewise, all the ingredients that are used to make that item going to be sold, likewise, is all included. And also, any items that a person he has bought, that he has purchased from the items that are going to be sold, even if he did not have them in his hand, but they're on the way to him, and the deal has been completed, all of these issues here, they will be calculated, and the sum total will determine if it reached the nisab. Then the zakat will be in these affairs, and if it remained for 1 year in that manner until the whole went by, then it would be incumbent to pay zakat on all of these items. So we have seen in our previous class the example of the one who has a chocolate store, for example, or a store that sells candies. So this individual here, he will have a store. And in his store, he has, for example, refrigerators. And he has utensils. And he has instruments and tools that he works with. And to make the candy. And he has candy that has been prepared. And it's ready for sale. And it's on display. And he has candy that is prepared. And it's ready for sale. But it's not on display. It's in the closet. Or it's in a storage. Or it's in a refrigerator. So on and so forth. And he has ingredients likewise that he makes the candy with. And that's going to be sold as well. Maybe some things that the candy will be wrapped in. So on and so forth. All of this is going to be sold. It's part of the product to be sold. Then maybe he likewise has ordered some products. Maybe he has ordered some ingredients. They're on the way. Or he has other ingredients that he has sent out. Yani, in a vehicle, transportation, for example. All of this is included in the nisab. And all of this is included from his wealth that is included in the zakat. All of these affairs here. And everything that he has prepared, whether it's for display or whether it's not for display. Everything that is used as ingredients to produce the final product that's going to be sold. All of this is included. He will add up the price of all of this. As for the refrigerators, for example, that he stores the stuff in, or the utensils that he uses, and the instruments that he uses to make the candy, so on and so forth, there's no zakat in this. Likewise, maybe he has several vehicles that he uses to transport the candy to other stores. for example, or to other locations. These vehicles here, there's no zakat in them. There's no zakat in them. The store itself, it has no zakat in it. If he has, yani, set aside a specific amount of candy that's prepared, that he gives away as charity, he has certain amount of candy that he gives away as charity, or that he has prepared as gifts that he does not make money from, this is not included. This candy here is not included in the nisab, and it will not be added up to calculate the nisab, nor to calculate how much he will pay. And he will not pay zakat on that. If it's prepared for sale and the likes like this, this is what is considered. As for if it's prepared for a gift or for a charity, then this one here, it will not be considered. It will not be considered. Likewise, we had seen in our previous class as well, the one who, the part of the business that has a title and a name. Maybe the name of the business will become famous, and it will be famous for a number of reasons, only because of the quality, and because of the authenticity, and because of the cleanliness, and because of the reliability, so on and so forth. So many times a business name, the name itself, will gather popularity and also have a value. It would also have a value. The name of the business will have a value. But this here likewise has no zakat on it as well. The only one that would have a zakat on it is the one that is prepared for selling, or is an ingredient for the selling. That which is going to be an ingredient for that. So this is something that is important, yani, to realize. What will he add up? He will add up all of these things. Again, what will he add up? He will add up the things that he has ready for sale. Another example, somebody who sells clothing, for example. He sells clothing, he makes clothing and sells it. So that maybe he has clothing that's already made, and it's on the rack for sale. He has stoves. He's a tailor. He makes stoves. So he has stoves that he has made. He put them on the rack. They're for sale. He has other stoves that he has made, and they're also for sale, but they're in the storage. There's no room on the floor for them. They're in the storage, for example. And then he has also a lot of material, different types of material that he makes stoves from. And he has string and the likes like these things that is used for the garment that's going to be sold. This is part of that product. And it's going to be put together to make a thobe. In this manner, these items here, they will be calculated. As for the sewing machine and as for the needles and the likes like this, all of these affairs here, this will not be calculated. We understand this. He has, when it's time to pay his zakat, he will add up all of these thobes here that are prepared on the floor, all of these thobes here that are in the storage that are prepared likewise, all of the thobes that or the materials that he has to make the thobes, the ingredients for making the thobes, these materials, that will be added up. Likewise, if he ordered a stack, if he ordered a shipment of material that's on the way to him, but he didn't get it yet, and he has paid for that, it's on the way to him, that likewise will be, that will be added up as well. That will be added up as well. All of this is considered in the nisab. We understand this point? Alhamdulillah. After this, the people of knowledge, they mentioned the issue of, yani, the how to pay the zakat. What is it on? It's on the value of the items. They say zakatu tijara fil qima. Zakatu tijara fil qima. Fi qimati al-urud. That the zakat of these items that are prepared for sale in business and trade, it will be in the value of those items. It will be according to the value of those items. Al-Baghawi, he mentioned, rahimahullah, ذهب عامة أهل العلم إلى أن التجارة تجب الزكاة في قيمتها. تجب الزكاة في قيمتها. Al-Baghawi, he mentioned, rahimahullah, that the majority of the people of knowledge with regards to the zakat in business and trade, they are of the position that the zakat is obligatory in its value, and the value of those items. So here we say, when will that become obligatory? Whenever the value of that reaches the nisab. He has money that he's doing business with, or he has items that are for sale, whether it's the money or whether it's the items, and the value of that reaches the nisab. The nisab of what? The dhahab or the fiddah. So here again, what is correct, and Allah knows best, to look at that which is most beneficial for the poor people. And this is a principle with regards to zakat. Al-nazar ila hadhi al-fuqara. Aw ila hadhi ahli zakat. That we look and we consider yani the best interest and that which is most beneficial for the people of zakat, for the people of poverty, yani specifically, yani, and likewise the people of zakat in general. So one will look to that which is in their best interest. So here he will calculate the nisab according to which one is lower, from the nisab of the gold and the silver. From the nisab of the gold and the silver. And he will go from there. So if he reaches the nisab and his items that he's selling or in the wealth that he's doing business with, now the haul begins. Now the haul begins. So when would he pay it? Whenever the haul comes to an end. Whenever the haul, if he reaches the nisab and then he has that nisab for one haul, at the end of that haul, this is the time to pay the zakat on the urud. This is what we're talking about now. When would he pay? On the items that he has for sale. Whenever he has them in his possession for one hold. Whenever that hold comes, now this is the time to pay. How does he pay? How does he pay? How does he pay? Does he add up the value of the items whenever he purchased them a year later? Or add up the value of the items of their value today? Or if he sold them today? Yani, which price? Of the price of today. The price if he sold them today. The price if he sold them today, not the price if he purchased many, for example, at his price. No, the price that he would get if he sold them today. So if the haul comes and is completed, on that day, either he, if he's reliable and he has knowledge, or somebody who has knowledge of the value of these items, he will ask him, what is the value of these items today? If I were to sell all of these items today, then how much would I have? How much would I get? How much would I get in return?
I think is the value of them today, not to sell them. If you want to brush them today, because you may not sell them for the price you want.
No. How much are they worth today on the market? This is the price. This is the price for the zakat. On the market. If you're going to sell them today, for example, if I have to pay zakat today, I have things for sale. I have to pay zakat today. So I look at all of these things and I add, how much is this one? If I sold this one today, it would be sold in the market for $200. This one would be sold in the market for $500. This one would be sold in the market for $5,000. Like this. If you sold it today, how much money would go in your pocket?
If you buy them today.
No, if you sold them today. La, 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 la. If you sold them today. If you sold them today. You it's fi qimatiha. Zakatul urud fi qimatiha. في قيمتها عند بيعها لا عند شرائها عند بيعها. What is the value of them? Because what you're intended from these things is to get money. Not to get the money you paid for, but the money you're hoping for, that you're going to sell them for. So the price of the zakat is in the value of the wealth that you're going to make from them. That you're going to make from them. For example, if you sold it today, how much are you going to have to pay zakat? If you paid $100 for an item and you sold it for $200, how much zakat do you have to pay? The $100 or $200? The $200. So this is the same. It's the same issue. So the zakat is the qima is going to be yani bi siri al bay, la bi siri al shira, bi siri al bay, la bi siri al shira. So this is the qima that you add up. So again, how would it be that the person, when it's time for him to add up his things, whenever the whole comes, he will look at the items that he has and he will ask, how much are they worth today if I sold them today? If I sold them today, how much money will I get? If I sold them today, how much money will I get? The average price in the market. Not high price, not cheap price, the average price in the market. If you sold it to somebody today, if you're selling, for example, phones, how much will somebody normally come and buy this phone if they bought it today? That's the price you add up in your zakat. That's the price you add up in your zakat. Like this, if you, how much was going to get in your hand and go into your pocket, and go into your pocket. So this is the issue now. Whenever the whole comes, that's the time to add it up, and that's the time to pay. What do you add up according to the value of the item if you sold it that day? If you sold it that day, this is what you add up, and then from here you give the rubu ushur. We talk about that inshallah. Now we have the issue of an individual and his business. Will you do the qima? The value of the items according to Sir al-Jumla or al-Tajzi'ah? Do you add it up according to a wholesale price or to individual price?
That was my question.
Wait, they're all, inshallah. I have a line of issues here. They all say question, answer, question, answer. Su'al, mas'ala, inshallah. Mas'ala yani ma yus'alu anhu. Kullu mas'ala hiya ma yus'alu anha. Innam. So, okay, now will a person, whenever he adds them up, would he add them up according to a wholesale price? If he sold all those items today wholesale, how much would he get? Or would it be according to individual price? If he sold each one of them individually, how would he get? It's known, for example, somebody, he sells, for example, perfume. Some people, they sell perfume wholesale price. Wholesale price. And the price is much, much cheaper. Much more for much less. Much more for much less. But in order to reach there, you have to pay a good amount. You need for it to be wholesale. For it to be wholesale. And then other times he will sell, some they will sell not wholesale, they'll sell individual. So they'll sell a little bit, but for a lot more. So if you sell a wholesale, you sell a whole lot for a lot less, but maybe you sell more. If you sell a little, if you sell individually, maybe if you get a lot more, like this. So the prices will be different according to how you sell them. So the people of knowledge, they mentioned here, how do you decide this? If he sells wholesale, then he adds up the price according to wholesale. If he sells individually, he adds up the price according to individually. If he sells both of them, then he will look to that which is the majority of his business. He will look to that which is the majority of his business. If the majority of his business comes from wholesale, he will do it according to wholesale price. If the majority of his business and his wealth is coming from individual price, and he only does wholesale a little bit or not as much, then he will do it according to the individual price. Do you understand that? We're all talking about now, again, considering the nisab and calculating the qima and the amount of that, the nisab, to reach the nisab. And then also after that, the amount that you're going to take from. So all of these things are going to be added. This is how it's calculated. And this is how it is calculated. So again, when does the hawl begin? When does the hawl begin? Whenever he reaches the nisab. So if he started his business with money, that with a value that reaches the nisab, it starts as soon as he has the money. Or if he purchased items and then it's lesser than the nisab, there's no hold on that. The hold does not begin. He's doing business. He has items for sale. He has money he's working with, for example, or items that he's working with, but it's lesser than the nisab. So now there's no zakat in that. There's no hold in that. But if he reaches the nisab, now the hold starts. Now the hold starts for him, and he will start counting from that time 1 year. And if he maintains the nisab in that whole year, then he will have to pay zakat. He would have to pay zakat. Also, there's a big point here to make as well with regards to the business and trade. Whether he has money or whether he has items, or if it's going back and forth, or if the items are changing, the hold does not stop. The hold does not stop. Somebody has $5,000. He makes it his business money. He's going to work with this. So he has $5,000. We say, for example, he buys a bunch of cell phones. He buys a bunch of cell phones. And then somebody comes along, an opportunity, he trades the cell phones for sheep. For a bunch of sheep, for example. But the sheep are for sale too. You understand? So now he went from having cell phones to having sheep. But the whole began with the 5,000 that he started. So if he, for example, in Ramadan, he got 5,000, he started doing business with that. And in Shawwal, he bought the cell phones. By Safar, now he maybe he sold those, and then he bought some sheep. He bought some sheep. All of this has the same hole from the 5,000 in Ramadan. And then he sells the sheep, and then he bought some cars. And then he has the cars for some time. They're for sale, but nobody's buying them. A few months go by. So then he trades the cars, for example, for something else. And then he sells that something else for more money. All of this here has the same hole. Because the intention from all of that is the money, and this is his business. So whether the business maybe is changing, maybe it's going from dollars to items, and then from back from items to dollars, or from one item to another item. And like this, he's doing business with that, he's doing trade with that, he's making commerce with that, and all of it is intended for selling. So the hold, it continues and it doesn't stop. The hold, it continues and it doesn't stop. If he, for example, he bought the phones, he sold the phones, and then he bought a car for sale, for example. And then later on, he decided he wants to keep the car for himself. What happens? The hole stops now. Now the hole stops, because now the car is for himself. You understand? Like, he had the money, he used that money, he bought some items. And he sold those items, got some more money, bought a car. Initially, he wasn't going to sell the car. The car didn't sell. After some time, he said, you know what, I'm going to keep this car. It's a nice car. Now the hole stops, because he changed his intention. because he changed his intention. Likewise, if he's buying and selling and he has the nisab and he buys some items and he sells them and he buys some more items and he sells them and then something happens and the price goes down, or he uses some of his money and it goes below the nisab. The value of his wealth goes, of his items goes below the nisab. Or his money that he's working with and calculated with all of his items goes below the nisab. And he's doing business, he sells phones, doing this and doing this, but then all of a sudden he has some big bills to take care of. It comes out of that money. It came out of his money that he's working with. You understand? He's got 5,000 he's working with, and he's moving it like this, and it's growing a little bit, and then suddenly there's all these big bills that caught up with him. He pays off these big bills, and now his lump sum that he's doing business with fell underneath the nisab. The whole stops. 3 months later, he's working hard, he's moving that money a little bit, until now it reaches the nisab. What happens? The whole starts from that point, from the new point, when it came into his hand again. Whenever he reached the nisab again, then in this one, he will not build off the previous one or go back to the previous one. Rather, it will start again new. So we have to pay attention to these affairs. When the whole will be built upon, and when the whole will stop. When the whole will be built upon, and keep going and not stop, and when it will stop. And when it will stop. We understand that? Because it's very important. When you say, okay, well, I bought, for example, I have 5,000 I'm working with, and I bought phones, I sold those, and then I sold the phones, and then I bought a car. And now the hole starts. I have a new hole for the car. Huh? Nah, because the intent from the car is the same thing as the intent from the phones. And the intent from all that in the beginning is to make money, to do business. It's to make money, to do business. So all of it began with this money. Or somebody gave him. Somehow he came into some phones. He didn't even have any money. Somebody gave him a whole bunch of phones. Here, go make some money. Here's some business. Take care of business like this. Or loaned him this affair. Put him in the game so he can make money. Then he makes money with that and the likes like this. And then he buys some other things. And then some other things. All with the same money. It all has the same hole. Regardless if the items are changing. Regardless, because it's all coming from the same one, the same intent. So one time he has money, next time he has phones, next time he has a car, next time he maybe has a house, next time he has garments, next time he has computers, whatever the case may be. He's doing business with all these different items, and the intent from all of them is the same thing. They all have the same hole from the beginning. From the beginning, whenever his wealth that he's doing business with reached the hole. Everybody's clear with that one? Any of this point here? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So this one is also very important. Okay, so then we talked about the nisab. What was the nisab? It has to reach the nisab. The urud, the nisab, urud al-tijara is the nisab of al-dhahab al-fidda. And we look at the one that is best for the poor people. So today the nisab will be the fidda, for the silver. Will be for the silver. Will be for the silver. Tayyib. If somebody has partnership, they all go in together. The three, four brothers, they're working together. He's got money. Everybody has four or five brothers, for example. They have shares in a business. Each one of them has a portion in the business, and the likes. He has this much money in. He has that much money in. He has that much money in. They're all partners. They all share in this one business. How would the zakat be here? What is the ruling for that? You understand the picture?
Yeah.
The answer is that. And if somebody might say, well, if all their money together reached the nisab, there's zakat in that, right? This could possibly be any possibility. But what is considered is each owner specifically. Mm-hmm. Each owner specifically. So you look at the owner. So here we look at if each owner in his own wealth, his portion reached nisab, zakat on his money. His portion doesn't reach the nisab. There's no zakat on his money. So it's according to each owner. Everybody, five people, they were going together on business. He put in this much. He put in that much. Or even if they all put in the same. In any case, you look at each individual, his portion. Does his portion reach the nisab? If his portion reached the nisab, then there's zakat on him. If his partner's portion didn't reach the nisab, there's no zakat on him. Because his portion didn't reach the nisab. We understand that. If they're working together and his portion in the beginning reached the nisab, and then his portion in the beginning didn't reach the nisab, So he started his hole whenever he began, and the other one he has no hole. And then as they're working together, his portion grew until he reached the nisab. So now the other one, his hole starts whenever his portion reached the nisab. Reached the nisab. This is clear? This is clear? Now.
So say there's three people, you have a business, they made $3,000. But one of the person, they need, from that $1,000, they need to pay their rent. And so now they only have $200. So maybe he didn't reach the nisab, but the other two did. So they're responsible, but he's not responsible for paying the child.
That's exactly right. This is another example of that. This person, they're in business together. They made a deal that he made this much and he made that much, but his money went to his knees and it's gone. So he doesn't pay zakat on that. As for the other two, then they keep on going because they didn't have any needs. Alhamdulillah. وَذَلِكَ فَضُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You understand that? So some people, their money gets eaten up in their needs, and other people, their money grows according to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla and His wisdom. And all of it's a test. What we want to know is what's obligatory on that wealth and how to fulfill that duty. So again, if the wealth is that's prepared for tijara, that's prepared for selling and the likes like this, and there's partnership between a number of people, each one will look with regards to the nisab according to his own wealth. And then it will be incumbent upon him according to his share. So for example, there's five people. All of them, they share in a portion in the business. Each portion by itself doesn't reach the nisab. Altogether, it reaches the nisab. Is there zakat on them?
No.
We understand that. All their money together reaches the nisab. But if you separate it individually, their money doesn't reach the nisab. Then there's no zakat on their wealth. If all of their money reaches the nisab, any individually, then there's zakat on each one of those money. The whole begins on each one of their money. You understand that? If the whole goes over all of their money, while none of their money went below the nisab, then they are going to have to pay zakat. If one of them, his whole cut off because he had to pay bills and needs and the likes like this, and the others they didn't, then they'll all have to pay zakat on that same time that they started together, if that's whenever the whole began. But he will not. He will not, because his whole stopped because he spent his money and his needs. And it went below the nisab. So this is very important. Again, barakallahu fikum, az-zakat ruknun min arkan al-Islam. It's a pillar from the pillars of al-Islam. So the obligation of learning this is even greater. Yani because of the fact of the high level and status of this affair. And it's the perfection and the completion of the deen. It's the right of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the right of the people of zakat. The poor people and the needy especially. So it's incumbent to learn the rulings of zakat. And to spread them and to teach them and to know them and to be upon clarity upon that. In order to perform that properly and to fulfill that duty and to establish Islam. Again, any of this amazing hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along hadith Mu'adh radiyallahu anhu, Ra'su al-amri al-Islam, the head of the affair is Islam, the most important affair. Islam is shahadatan, as-salah, as-zakat, as-sawm, sawm Ramadan. Ra'su al-amr, establishing this. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, in your heart, in your manners, in your worship, in your money, in your wealth, in your business, in your transaction. Ra'su al-amr al-Islam, in your children, in your wife, in your family. Like this, when you come and when you go. Ra'su al-amri al-Islam. Ra'su al-amri, the most important affair that will never be compromised with and will never be violated and should be shown respect and honor and protection at all costs. Al-Islam. Al-Islam. We understand that. That's what Ra'su al-amri means. This is an amazing affair to ponder over. And if we even think, subhanAllah, Usul al-Thalatha by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah, how it begins and how it ends. It begins clarifying these affairs and the issues of the questions in the grave. Who is your Lord and what is your religion and who is your Prophet, so on and so forth. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he closed with that hadith. Ra'su al-amri al-Islam. This what you have learned before, that we covered before from the beginning of this work, the head of that. This is the head of the affair. Al-Islam, it must be established. It must be maintained. It must be protected. And it must be cared for with great concern. And it must be spread through the land and raised high. and the hearts of the believers and through the ummah. So this is what we strive for, to raise al-Islam in our life and make the head of our affair al-Islam. May Allah grant us success. From that, zakat. Okay, so now we see the issue of the intention. We mentioned yesterday that the difference between these items normally and the fact that they're going to have zakat on them is that there's the intention. Because the origin with the likes of cars and carpets and computers and phones and so on and so forth is that there's no zakat in that. And the difference is the intention. The difference is the intention. But the people of knowledge, they mention important points here. And that is that if a person, he intends, for example, he purchases items for sale, and whenever he purchases them, he intends to use them for business, then the whole, if they reach the nisab, the whole starts at that moment. Huh? At that moment, from the time he purchases them with that intention. You understand? Mm-hmm. So for example, a person, he bought a car and he wants to sell it. And then after that, he left it in his driveway for 6 months. He never put a sign on it at all. He was a little bit negligent. And then 6 months later, he put a sign on it. He parked it in the parking lot for sale and the lights like this. When would his whole start? From the day he bought it. From the day he bought it. Because he purchased the item with the intention of tijara. So therefore, the zakat, the hold begins at that moment. At that moment. This is the jumhur, the majority of the scholars, this is their position and what they mention. But as for if a person, he bought a car for himself, not for selling. He wants to drive it. He drove it for 6 months. And then after that, he says, you know what, I'm going to get a new car, inshallah, I want to sell this one. When will this car be considered from the urud tijara? Yani, when will the hawl begin on that car? We say he decided to sell it in Safar. And then it wasn't until, for example, Rabi'ul Awwal that he put a sign on it and put it in the parking lot for sale. When will the hawl begin on this one? The majority of the scholars, the majority of Jumhur al-Ulama, they say whenever he put it for sale. Whenever he put, not in the intention. Because here the origin with regards to this item is that it doesn't have zakat in it. Al-asl annahu fi anna fi adam is zakat. The fundamental principle with regards to the car is that there's no zakat in it. He bought it was his, it's his item. So therefore here the people of knowledge, as they mentioned, an-niyya al-mujarrada la tanqulu an al-asl. Fi bab al-mu'amalat. Fi bab al-mu'amalat. A simple intention without any action or implementation will not remove something from its fundamental principle in the chapter of buying and selling. So therefore, it has to be coupled with an action. It has to be coupled with an action. So therefore here, the person who intended to sell his car, and he owned his car, it's his, it's not for sale whatsoever. Later on, he intends to sell it, but he doesn't put it out for sale for a month later. It begins whenever he puts it out for sale. Same thing if a person, he has bought some land, and he intended to build on that land and to use that land for his own personal benefit and the likes like this. And then later on, he decided to sell it. But it wasn't for 2-3 months after he thought about selling. He said, you know what, inshallah, I'm going to sell this property. But it wasn't 2-3 months later until he put it on the market. When will the hawl start for him?
2-3 months later.
Whenever he put it on the market. Whenever he put it on the market. So the difference between the two is the one who bought the item to sell it. The one who, whenever he purchased the item, whenever he has ownership on the item, he had the intention of selling it. This one begins at that moment, because the asl here is that item is for sale. So therefore, the whole begins with the intention and with the purchase and the ownership. As for somebody who already had something and it was not for sale, it's not for sale in the first place. There's no zakat in it. The origin is there's no zakat in it. It will not be considered from the urud al-tijara until he intends that, and also he puts it for sale. And also he puts it for sale, and he puts it on the market and the likes like this. We understand the difference? We understand the difference between the two. So we have one, the one who purchases something with the intent to sell it. The hawl begins on that day. We have somebody who purchases something without the intention to sell it. And then later on he intends to sell it. It will not consider, the hawl is not considered until he moves and puts it for sale. This is with the majority of the scholars, and Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.